Morning News and the Local News Hour with Leslie Thatcher is provided by Park City Medical Center, Jan's Mountain Outfitters, Deer Valley Resort, and Promontory and the Promontory Foundation.
This week is the final week for Summit County residents and businesses to renew their business licenses. On the phone with details, I have Summit County Clerk Kent Jones. Good morning, Kent.
Good morning.
So who needs a business license?
Anybody that's doing an activity that will turn them a profit.
Well, babysitters don't need them, right?
No. We want to make sure that they're legitimate businesses that are, you know, they are providing a service, they're making profit, and they're offering something for what they provide to their customers.
All right. So if you're renting out your home on VRBO, you would need a business license then, huh?
If you're doing nightly rentals, you do. If you have a home that you rent on a long-term basis or on a lease basis, then that's not a business. But anything to do with nightly rental, 30 days or less, does need a business license.
All right. So what happens if you don't have one by January 1st?
Well, we extended that day out to January 15th. A couple of years ago, we changed the deadline, the due date, because when we were sending out notices for renewals, we were getting so many responses back that would still be in the current year. It was hard to keep the funding and the budget straight. So we changed the renewal date to January 15th. All the renewals are due on January 15th.
Okay, so that gives everybody a little bit breathing room then.
It does, and then that gives us a little time, so that we're not trying to do everything through the holidays. But January 15th is the renewal date for both the business license and the alcohol licenses. And we've sent out the notices. We've done email blast to anybody that wanted to pay online. And that there were a lot of good response to that. So there were a lot of people that we didn't have to do mailings for. Then last week we sent out mailings to all those who hadn't previously paid, and then we just have to segregate the money as it comes in so that we make sure it goes into the 2016 budget year.
So all of it can be done online now, huh?
It can be, yeah. Well, when we send the renewals out, we provide some instructions and a PIN code number that you can put in and pay online.
All right. That's also for the alcohol permits?
It is, yeah. Both of them, we send both out at the same time. So if you had just a business without alcohol, then you'd get your business license renewal. If you have alcohol, they would both go together.
All right. Any other changes in the process for that?
We made a couple changes in the business license ordinance earlier this month. In effect, it didn't really change anything as far as the procedure to issue or renew, but what we've done was shorten the time frame. If someone is late in making their payment, we shortened the time frame up to March 1st. They would actually be delinquent, and we could either send out code enforcement or we can close that business license out, where it had been a process that went way into the new year. And some businesses were stretching that clear out, and they'd be in business for, you know, a good part of the new year and without a current license. So we shortened that time up on the business license ordinance. But then on the alcohol license, we also done pretty much a rewrite of our alcohol license, because there's been so many changes with DABC over the past couple of years that we didn't match up. And so we tried to basically mirror what the state code is as far as alcohol. Those people that had convenience store licenses or restaurants or clubs, none of that really changed much. But, you know, now we have licenses that reflect similar licenses to the state issues for manufacturing, distilleries, package agencies, reception centers, just whatever their list was. We kind of adopted the same list so that if somebody has a state license, then their county license matches it.
All right. So have you really ever done that? Closed a business down or a bar down?
There's been a time or two we've had code enforcement go out and, you know, tell people, hey, you've got, you know, 1 or 2 days to pay in, or we'll come back and close you. I don't know that we've ever had to close anybody down, but if we don't get a renewal in the mail, if they just, you know, kind of blow it off, or they're not there anymore and we don't know it, then that's the kind of ones that are hard to track down. So we just shorten that time up so that we can clean our files up a little faster.
All right. So how much is a business license? I mean, I guess they vary depending on the type of business.
Commercial business licenses are $200 a year. In-home are $75. That's the only two categories we have for business license.
All right. Let's see. The county council is set to consider its budget approval tonight. It's a general election year. I'm guessing you're asking for a little bit more money then in the budget?
We do. On the election budget, we do jump up and down on that. We try and kind of maintain an even budget from year to year on the other categories. But on the elections budget, we do go up and down because of the type of year it is.
Okay. How much more do you need?
I believe we budgeted a little more than $50,000 or $60,000 more this year. What I probably intend on doing this year, we've talked about it quite a bit. The trend seems to be going to all by mail. We're going to provide all by mail for our elections this year, and we still will have some election day polling places. We won't have as many as what we have had in the past, but we will probably be setting up and gearing up to do a by-mail election for this year.
Oh, why'd you decide to go that route?
Well, it's kind of the way everybody's going, and you know, our equipment, our machines, and our technology that we've used has done really well for us. But it is getting older, and as more people in the state, more of the clerks go away from the electronic machines, and I believe there'll be some more this year. I think there's probably close to 20 of the 29 counties that are going to be on by mail. I can see that trend coming, and I didn't want to be the last one to make a change and being kind of held out there saying, well, we're going to continue with the old equipment, because I think until we all get a clear direction of what our next generation voting system might be, we all kind of want to be together as a state on our procedures and how we handle elections. So a lot of them are doing by mail, and I think we'll do the by mail, and we'll also have some polling places open too.
Yeah. Now, do you have to do any prep work before the actual election? And the reason I ask is because I know that hundreds of ballots were returned to Wasatch County, and this was from people who had moved from Park City, you know, 5, 10, 15 years ago, and still received mail at a post office box in Park City that had been closed many years before that.
Yeah, it's really hard to have a 100% current mailing list because, you know, people move and we don't know it, or they change address and those kind of things. And what we'll probably do is send out a couple of mailers, voter ID cards or notices that we're going to send out by mail ballots this year. We'll do that once or twice before the primary election, and that will help us to clean up some of our records if there are some out of date. And then that is another reason in the initial first year or two that we'd go that route, to have election day voting places, so that those people that either didn't get a ballot or we had a wrong address for them for whatever reason, they still are provided that opportunity to vote. And then, you know, over time, as that gets to be perfected and the mailing list gets a lot more accurate, then you don't have those issues. But the first year or two, I'm sure there will be some that will come up.
All right. So you think that $50,000, $60,000 is going to cover the additional costs?
Well, the that in addition, I mean, I budgeted for what I normally would have run election for anyway, and so we added 50,000 to it, and I do believe that will cover it, yeah.
Okay. And just, also on the budget, it's the public defender, and I'm just actually curious why that's in the clerk's budget.
Well, it kind of goes back for several years. before we had a county manager, there wasn't anybody really that did take it over. And at one time, when I first came in as clerk, I was over the courts. That was all a county function. And then as the courts moved away and the state took that over, it just kind of fell into my lap. And so I've handled the budget and the payments and the contracts and everything for public defender ever since. And we have had conversations on more than one occasion that, you know, is this the right place for that to be, and that it may be an executive function. And I think we're probably getting closer to that, maybe moving. But as of yet, I just continue to do it. And, you know, it just kind of something that fell into my lap years ago, and I kept it.
So any increases there in the public defender budget?
We have increased the conflict pool defender budget. Over the last few years, we're seeing quite a few more conflict cases. Our regular public defender budget has gone up minimal, but we're seeing several defendants under the same citation or same cases, and so, you know, there has to be a public defender for each one, and so that's part of where we've seen a larger increase.
All right, Kent, anything else you think people ought to know?
Just wish everybody a happy new year and a prosperous new year, and hope we all have a good year.
Okay, thanks for your time.
Thanks.
Bye. Summit County Clerk Kent Jones, KPCW News Time, 826.
Get up and move, Park City. This is Stanton Jones from the Silver Mountain Sports Clubs, a KPCW supporter. We offer over 80 fitness classes each week to our members, including spin, yoga, aqua aerobics, Zumba, bar blast, circuit training, and more. We have two locations in Park City. Online at silvermountainsportsclub.com. Be stronger, live healthy, play longer.
Additional support for programming on KPCW is provided by Sammy's Bistro, now offering breakfast Thursdays to Sundays from 7 to 11 a.m. Peterson Calder Real Estate, Berkshire Hathaway, selling Park City since 1989. ExperienceParkCity.com. Sean Potter, Estate Planning in Summit and Wasatch Counties, WasatchLawGroup.com, 647-5951. Done to Your Taste Catering, 21 years perfecting life celebrations. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and listeners like you.
It's 8:27 now. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. This is the KPCW Local News Hour. Well, as we've reported, skiing legend and longtime Park City resident Stein Erickson passed away yesterday at his Park City home, surrounded by his family. He had just turned 88 this month. In the studio with me with a look back at his life is the general manager and president of Deer Valley Resort, Bob Wheaton. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Leslie.
I'm sorry for your loss. I know that you and Stein go way, way back. I think you and Stein, at Deer Valley, really at the same time, or did he come a little bit before you?
Stein was certainly there before. And, you know, Stein actually started his tenure here in Park City with Edgar over at Park City Mountain Resort when Edgar owned Park City. And both those gentlemen came to Park City from Aspen. And Stein's been planted here for quite some time.
Yeah. As I mentioned, he celebrated his 88th birthday. I think it was December 11th. He's been in frail health for the past few years, so his passing, not unexpected, but it's of course always sad when it does. Sounds like he went peacefully, though. His family there?
Yes, exactly. His family was around him. He was at home, and it was peaceful.
Yeah. So, well, tell us about the Stein you knew.
Oh, iconic comes to mind, and it's almost ironic, Leslie, in that. You know, there's Stein, the icon, and Stein, the ski industry. And there's a whole another part of Stein that that anybody who had met Stein, saw immediately, and that was the personal side of Stein. And he was always so engaging and so endearing, and it really didn't matter if he never met you before. Within 30 seconds, you had a new best friend. And, you know, Larry and I were just talking out in the lobby there. Stein's one of those blessed individuals that could always remember somebody's name and where he had met them before. And so, you know, people that would come up and say, oh, Stein, I skied with you, you know, 10 years ago or something. Oh, yes, I remember we skied yada, 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 and, you know, the whole nine yards. So that's really the Stein that I remember. You know, you see his name in, you know, worldwide in the media. And he's also one of those guys that doesn't need a last name. Right. You know, you just say Stein, everybody's got it.
So what was his role at the resort? I mean, most recently, because he's after a pretty serious accident, I think it was right after his 80th birthday, he kind of took a step back.
Mm-hmm. The well, his role, as we talked about, Leslie, the at Park City Mountain Resort, he was the director of skiing there. And then when Edgar started Deer Valley, Stein came over to Deer Valley as a director of skiing. And at that time, you know, it was a blank slate. It was there was a small ski area there before called Snow Park, and that was integrated into what we now know as Deer Valley. And so that kind of started a little bit of some of the master planning, but Stein was very, very involved with all the preliminary design of the resort and how things laid out, all the ski runs. You know, he was up there skiing before we opened, skiing through the trees and saying, oh, you know, this would make a nice ski run here. You know, we need to keep this area for glade skiing. This would be a great spot for a five-star hotel. Just happens now to have his name on it. So all of those components are what Stein was involved in early on. And then it transitioned to be the director of skiing after we opened. And you know, certainly as we had expansions and putting in new lifts and all that, Stein was always in that conversation, always.
And he spent a lot of time on the slopes.
Yeah, that was a tough part of his job. you'd always see him out there. And that was a part of the personable part that we were just talking about as well, Leslie. The, you know, people would see him skiing down, and as you very well know, Stein had a very distinctive style of skiing, very easy to pick out. And so people would see him skiing down and be, oh, Stein, you know, and they would stand at the side of the ski run and say, hey, Stein, how you doing? You know, and he'd wave, and, you know, people would mill at the bottom just to have a chance to go up and take a picture with him or say, hi, Stein, or you know, special thing certainly was to be able to take a chair ride with him. And so, yeah.
Wow, a lucky guy there. Yeah. So certainly, well, he helped design Stein Erickson Lodge. It wasn't his, but he took enormous pride in it as if it was his. He spent a lot of time there as well, greeting guests.
And absolutely. Well, and that's a part of the personal part of Stein too, Leslie. The, you know, he was always there. You know, he'd walk through the restaurant greeting people, and I don't know what better term to use than icon. And icon for the industry, certainly icon for Deer Valley and as well as for Stein Erickson Lodge.
So what would you like people to know about Stein?
Well, I think Stein's personal values that he had and how he values his family and his friends and just being so endearing and so accommodating and friendly and that's a part of Stein that I think is most important for all of us to remember. He, you know, he certainly has, I mean, you go into the lodge and look at the trophy case, and it's a little mind-boggling with all of the athletic achievements and the personal achievements that he's been able to assemble. You know, one thing that comes to mind is, you know, he was knighted a knight first class from his home country in Norway. Now, that was years and years after he had relocated to the U.S. And, you think about a whole country recognizing an individual like that who is not even in the country anymore, but has done so much for their home country to actually come outside of their borders and honor an individual like Stein with a Knight First Class. Doesn't happen very often, I don't think. But that's how special Stein was, and all of the accolades that he was able to assemble, like I said. But it's the most important thing, I think, is Stein as a person and the values that he had and the lessons that he taught all of us on life values.
Yeah, does that archive, all his medals and trophies and everything, stay at the lodge?
It's at the lodge right now.
Yeah, yep. So it'll stay there, though?
That's yet to be determined, but it's there right now.
Yeah. And I know there'll be a private memorial service for close friends and family. Anything publicly?
Yes. We're going to give it a little bit of time. There's we do know that because Stein was so well known nationally and internationally that when we do have a public celebration of Stein's life, I think there's going to be just a couple of people there. And so we want to give people around the country and around the world a chance to plan and be able to come into town. And we will have a public celebration. That'll be determined here in the next little while.
Okay. And I know that the resort and family, in lieu of flowers, suggesting that donations may be made to the Stein Erickson Youth Sports Opportunity Endowment. This was through the Youth Sports Alliance?
That's exactly right, and thanks for mentioning that, Leslie. And anybody that would like to contribute, the website for donations is YSA, as in Youth Sports Alliance, parkcity.org. So YSA, parkcity.org.
Well, I remember when he kicked this off a few years ago, I mean, the goal was to get $2 million. I think they're really close to that. Yeah?
They're very close to that. So, you know, if all of us could just make that little extra contribution in Stein's memory, that would be huge.
Okay. Anything else?
I think that's it, Leslie. Just that Stein will be dearly missed around town, certainly at Deer Valley and a lot of our lives.
Yeah. All right, Bob, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Leslie. Take care.
It's the President and General Manager of Deer Valley Resort, Bob Wheaton. Newstime now, 8:36.
This is Susan Meyer from Meyer Gallery, back to support Park City's local radio, KPCW. The gallery represents artists from Utah and across the country. On exhibit are figurative, landscape, and abstract artworks, located at 305 Main Street and MeyerGallery.com.
Hi, this is David Jensen, the director of the Habitat for Humanity Restore in Park City. If you've been to the Restore, you already know about the incredible treasures and deals found there every day. If you're new to the Restore, you're in for a treat. Our great customers come from hours away to find amazing bargains on new and used fine furniture, light fixtures, appliances, and building materials that have been donated to us. And as always, the Restore is open to the public, and we're proud to be a local nonprofit KPCW supporter.
KPCW News Time, 8:37. Good morning, I'm Leslie Thatcher. It's the local news hour on KPCW. Well, Park City crews still working to fix a water line break near the intersection of Park Avenue and Heber Avenue. In the studio with me, I have Park City Public Information Officer Phyllis Robinson, along with Kyle MacArthur, Water Distribution Manager. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So this happened, Kyle, yesterday afternoon?
About 3:30 is when we got the call. And my on-call guy called me about 4 to let me know what was going on because we had a large portion of town shut off in order to isolate the break itself.
Okay, how bad is the break?
Pretty good. I mean, it's hard to tell until we get down to it, but there was a lot of water running down the street. We're guessing corrosion of some sort. There's probably a hole in the pipe, though we haven't actually gotten down to it to see what, in fact, the problem is.
Yeah, do cold temperatures affect it, or is it just...
No, it's just corrosion. It just happens over time, and then, you know, a number of factors. And it could have something to do with the freeze-thaw cycle that, you know, allows the dirt to move, and then therefore the pipe actually comes apart when that happens. But it's not really directly due to the cold weather.
Yeah. Is it more difficult? I'm just guessing it is because of the cold temperature, though, in fixing it?
It is. It's harder to dig through the frozen ground. Obviously, it takes a lot more time than in the summertime when everything's thawed out. But we do have, you know, good equipment and the jackhammers and backhoes that we can really punch through that stuff. I think the biggest issue that we've run into is there's a lot of utilities in Heber Avenue, and there aren't good records of where those utilities are located. So, like, for instance, there's a 6-inch gas main right in the trench where we're trying to dig to find our water main. So obviously we have to be very careful around that, which really slows things down.
Yeah, so what's the prognosis?
You know, it's really hard to say. What we've actually found is that the water was following some sort of conduit. It could be a storm drain. We're not really sure. So where we started to dig was not actually where the break is. So now we're having to dig back further east into Heber Avenue.
Hmm. So who is without water at this point?
At this point, I believe it's just the condo right in front of where we're digging. We were able to reroute water. Originally, we had Park Avenue and Woodside all the way down basically to 15th Street out when we first isolated it. But like I say, we were able to reroute water and manually turn some valves to get those people back in water. So it probably started off with several hundred homes and condos, and now we're down to just a handful.
Like three, so?
Yes, I believe so.
Three. Yeah. And then you were able to get High West Distillery back running. They need that
right.
water to make whiskey.
Yes, very important.
Yeah, that was the Christmas miracle.
Yeah. All right, so in terms of just, I mean, this is, given the dated system that we have, I mean, this is just something that we should expect more often than not, huh? Or are you able to keep ahead of it?
Yeah, I mean, it depends. Like, we're pretty sure that the pipe in this area is from the 60s, so that's pretty close to its useful life, especially if it's, you know, within a corrosive soil, which we find sometimes around town. And it varies depending on what area of town you're in, you know, just depending on what sort of material they use for backfill when installing the pipe. But yeah, it's pretty common to have corroded pipe around town.
Yeah. So for the handful of residents who don't have water, I know at one point you guys offered like the Mark or something mm-hmm. to take showers. Is that what you're still doing? Or?
Well, actually, we're working right now to reroute another section of the water, not reroute piping, but reroute the water so we can actually feed those homes. Now that we have a better idea of where the break actually is, we can turn some valves and get those houses back in water, and we think we'll have everybody back in water here shortly.
End of the day?
Yes, for sure. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, and we certainly can if folks who are in those units need to get showers and things, absolutely we'll make sure the folks at the Mark know that there may be a few folks coming in who are part of the affected households. I'd love to, you know, give a shout out to you guys for all the help last night, getting the messaging out, the DJ with Renee and Rick, and calling on a regular basis and keeping everyone updated, particularly this time of the year when we have so many guests in town. The radios was just a fantastic way of reaching people. So thank you very much for that. And
yeah, I mean, we've had tremendous help from a bunch of city staff, you know, the streets department, water treatment group's been out there helping us, and then Beck Construction, the contractor we hired late last night just because we're short-staffed, holidays and all that going on. It's been tough, but I think all in all, you know, it's been great to have all the support from city staff and other people as well.
Okay, yeah. A few just key pieces. We are still the intersection at Heber and Park. Is still closed. And if folks are looking to catch the bus, you can pick up the bus just below that closure at 7th. So the buses are still running. They're being rerouted a little bit on Main Street, but buses are still running, so please hop on the bus. And you just may have to walk just a tad bit farther on that. And we will let you know as soon as the water's back on to those final residences.
Okay. Hey, Phyllis and Kyle, thanks for coming in. Good luck with that.
Thanks.
KPCW News Time, now 8:42.
This is Janine Troilo with the Deer Valley Grocery Cafe, and we are pleased to support KPCW. We offer breakfast, lunch, early supper, a variety of grocery and picnic items, as well as takeaway entrees and retail gifts. Wine, beer, and cocktails are available. Open daily, year-round, in the Deer Valley Plaza building, 615-2400 or deervalley.com. This is Michelle from Peak Art and Frame, proud supporters of KPCW. Locally owned and operated, Peak Art and Frame features local photography and artwork, as well as digital printing, custom framing, and mirrors. Open 7 days a week, rush service available, located in the Walmart Shopping Center, 649-0801, peakartandframe.com.
Hi, I'm Amy Roberts with Park City Medical Center, a not-for-profit community hospital and a proud supporter of KPCW. Park City Medical Center is one of the premier hospitals for orthopedic surgery and follow-up care. Whether you need your hip, knee, shoulder, ankle, or elbow fixed, our team of skilled physical therapists can help you regain your strength and get you back to your active lifestyle. Our physical therapists have access to the latest technology and equipment, like an anti-gravity treadmill and a SwimX therapy pool. We also offer free assessments for physical and occupational therapy. Call 435-658-7350 to make an appointment.
KPCW News Time now, 8:43. Good morning, I'm Leslie Thatcher. This is the local news hour on KPCW. Well, Park City resident Tom Klein is beta testing a new app that he created and is hoping that the Park City community will help make even better. He joins me now in the studio with details. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Leslie.
So the name of the app is Suggested. Give us an idea of what you were hoping to create here.
Well, Suggested is all about the future and things sharing and posting things in Park City that are happening in the future, things that you want to do, and it's entirely local-based. So any individual or business who's interested in posting a suggestion about something that's happening around town, this is the app. Suggested is the app to do exactly that.
All right. So, I mean, Facebook has an event deal. How is this different from that?
Well, Facebook is strictly events, where Suggested is all about so much more than just events, these grand events. It's about activities, what's happening in local deals, specials, and events as well. And it's entirely local focused. So where Facebook is very busy and is generally past oriented, everything it's suggested is future oriented. And it's strictly focused on that core concept of sharing local activities.
All right. So something like, you know, there's a pickup hockey game or something at Willow Creek Park, or you know, we're going to meet at, you know, run amok, you know, with our dogs or something like that.
That's exactly right. There's so many cool, interesting things happening around Park City and in every city in America. But since we're launching in Park City, it's all about these fun and small, interesting things, not necessarily these grand events. We drive by these things all the time and we're like, why didn't I know that was happening? And Suggested is a place where anyone can post something that's happening around town. So we have this great visibility into our local community before something happens.
All right. So I mentioned it's under beta testing only here in Park City. For how long?
Yeah, so Park City is our experiment, and we're not sure exactly how long. Since the app is just coming out today, we'll use it as our experiment. We're hoping to get great support in Park City and really make this a very vibrant community inside the application. And then from there, it'll dictate when we launch into other cities, or more importantly, when we launch publicly. We want to make sure the technology holds up and the user experience is what we expect before we put it publicly into the App Store.
All right. So can anybody try it out then, or test it for you?
Yeah, we'd love anyone in Park City who would like to test it. It's very simple. It's invite only, but the invite's very simple. All you'd have to do is go to the website, suggest.it. And so it's not a .com. It's just suggest.it. And there's an invite button that you can't miss. You would sign up right there, and you'll get an email invitation to be able to download with the instructions on how to download it, not going through the App Store, because the App Store is public, and there's an official beta testing program that Apple has through a program called Test Flight, and that's what you would see in the email.
So is it both for Apple and Android at this point?
At the moment, it's just for iPhone. We have it halfway developed for Android already, but because of the time and commitment it costs to develop on different platforms, iPhone is the starting point, and we'll move on to Android as quickly as possible.
Well, let's walk through a little bit how it works. So there's first people would have to register. What, just give you their email and...
Yeah, like most other apps or websites, you just send an email and create a password. And then you essentially just select your category. So if you're interested in seeing entertainment suggestions, you would just click on entertainment. We have things like outdoor recreation, food specials, retail deals. There's 10 categories so far into the app. And you select those categories, what you're interested in, and those that are suggestions you'll receive in your feed.
All right. And as I downloaded it yesterday and kind of I posted something about the upcoming film that's going to be shown at Jim Sani Auditorium about coding, and then there's a post-film panel. I had a hard time deciding what category. I would have put education, I think, but there was a high school app or category. There was a parent one. There's entertainment. I mean, it's like didn't really know what to put it under. So...
Yeah, I think there's a learning curve to every app, but this is really, for the most part, I think we did a good job picking the 10 topics that we wanted to select. But if we find that there's a missing topic like education and there's demand for it, we'll certainly integrate it. If you have too many topics, I think it gets people confused, and you have to start with a nice, you know, subset of topics and see, again, sort of since it's an experiment, we're going to learn a lot from this as well and determine what are the exact right topics. And we know like six or seven are great, and maybe three of them maybe aren't ideal right now.
Yeah. So what's your background? I mean, how did you design an app?
That's a great question. So I was in web development and running an online publishing company for 13 years out of Charleston, South Carolina. It was nationwide. And decided to get into the app development phase after we sold our previous company, that online publishing company. And since we had a pretty good technical background, but when you move into application development, it's definitely a different beast, and it's a different market. And there was a lot to figure out. There's a large learning curve to it, to make sure that, you know, there's so much app fatigue in the market. So building an app that's really great. So many people are used to downloading apps that they just delete them right away because they have no purpose for their everyday use. So that's the challenge for us. And we think we accomplished that, and I think we'll continue to make it better.
Yeah. So how do you make your money? I mean, you already have, as you mentioned, a bunch of time invested in developing it.
A significant amount of time, a significant amount of money already invested. What you want to do in these social apps, of course, is make sure that you build something that's awesome. If you grow an audience within an application, there'll be ways to monetize that. We have a very clear monetization path for the future, and that may be involved in charging businesses to post. But I think they'll be happy to do so. So if they can reach their local market and there's a subscription fee for businesses to be able to post a certain amount of times a month, I think they'll be very happy to pay that if our app has the reach into the community that we expect it may.
So something like the 2-for-1 coupon in the off season, something like that? Is that?
Yeah, we have two topics that are really business oriented, and those are food specials and retail deals. So if you're a retailer or a restaurant and you want to be able to post a food special or some sort of retail deal, I mean, how do you do that today? You can post in Facebook, you could post in the local newspaper and all these other places, or you can even put a flyer up on your window. But that doesn't have a significant amount of reach. What's suggested, if you post a retail deal into that category and people are following that category, you have an incredible medium to expose that deal to that local community. And same thing for restaurants who have these awesome food specials. You know, they have these food specials, 2-for-1s, and that most people just don't know about. And sometimes you get home at night and you're like, I want to go out to eat, but where should we go? The same old places? Or who has something cool today? Who has a piano bar that's going on? Who has it's really cool 2-for-1 special? Those are the types of things that you're going to find here and suggest it.
Yeah. So say I traveled to San Francisco and you know that it's expanded to San Francisco. I mean, how am I just limited by Park City?
No. So once you go to San Francisco, when that launches, you'll be able to change your location to San Francisco, and you'll also be able at that time to change your radius. So in San Francisco, you may not want to see a 15-mile radius of all the things that are happening, because that's a very large radius. You may only want to see a half mile or a quarter mile, and we'll have a filter that allows you to change that radius to a very small area, so that if you're staying in a hotel in the middle of San Francisco and you want to be something in walking distance and want to know what's happening, you'll be able to easily filter your feed and just see those suggestions.
So what kind of control do you maintain? I mean, if somebody posts an event that may not be appropriate.
Yeah, that's a great question. So there are manual controls through our content review team, and there also will be technology controls as well that filter out certain keywords of those aspects. So it's a combination like many other apps would use. They would employ various technologies and manual controls to make sure that And of course, there's also the community control. So if something is posted that's inappropriate, there's a flag option that any community member can flag that content, which immediately notifies the content review team, and then it's removed from the system.
But it would be filtered prior to being posted. Is that what you're saying?
That's the technology side would filter it before it's posted, and then whatever gets through that technology side would be then by the community and or our content review team. We expect to have members in each community that sort of police that community. And since it's not an anonymous app, you have to post under your real persons or your real business. We actually don't think it's going to be much of a concern.
All right. Again, you're inviting people to test it out for themselves and, again, help you make it better. And just go, send an email to suggest.it?
Yeah, so you can send an email to invite@suggest.it, and all you have to do is put invite in the subject field, or you can just go to the website suggest.it and you'll see the invitation button right there and sign up for your beta invitation, and we'll have that out to you this afternoon.
All right. When do you think it'll be ready for distribution? Mass
public distribution. We're hoping in the next 3 to 4 weeks, but we want to build a community inside, make sure everything is working well, and then we'll open it up in the public app store, because there's an extra layer sort of to download the app right now. We'd like to remove that layer as soon as possible once the community is active.
Okay, and in this case, really, the more the merrier.
For sure. This is a tool for our community, and it's only as good as the amount of people that are posting suggestions in it.
Okay, well, good luck, Tom. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Leslie.
That's Park City resident and app developer Tom Klein. KPCW News Time now, 8:54.
The Spur and Grill is proud to support KPCW, located down the alley at 352 Main Street. The Spur is open every evening with dinner, drinks, and live music. The Spur Bar and Grill.com includes music schedules, menus, and contact information.
KPCW News Time now, 8:54. Good morning, I'm Leslie Thatcher. It's the Local News Hour on KPCW. Well, local author, writer, and self-publisher Stacey Domalski has a women's writing retreat set for the new year, Journey Into Your Story. She joins me now in the studio with details. Good morning.
Hey, Leslie, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. So tell me what's going to happen, January 8th through the 10th.
It's at Hotel Park City, Friday night, all day Saturday, all day Sunday, and this is the second one I'm doing it. I've brought on Stephanie Barton to help me with it. She's a life coach. And how it came about was I teach classes of writing, blogging, and self-publishing at the University of Utah. And I have found that a lot of times when people start writing, they get in their own way. They start in with a real juicy story, and then they get blocked, and they have second thoughts and doubts. And that's where the writing coach comes in to help them work through that so that they can actually get down on paper the story that they want to write. So it's a whole process.
Okay, so what happens? I mean, just kind of basic introductions on Friday night?
Yeah, basic introductions Friday night. We have dinner together. We're limiting, it's early, to 10 people. We have pre-registration up to that, but only about half have actually paid. So at this point, we're first come, first serve, who pays? So Friday night's dinner. Then all day Saturday, all day Sunday, it is introduction to story structure, meditation. It's a left brain, right brain kind of thing. We're going to do in-class exercises both for, you know, breathing and relaxing, and also how to actually sit down and make yourself write. Writer's block is a really ugly thing, and that's what always gets in people's way. So we're going to get people unblocked, and then we're going to actually do some writing exercises, so by the time you leave on Sunday, you will actually have some pages done and a plan how to get your story written.
So do you need to have a story idea?
Well, it helps, but a lot of times what people do is they come in and they say, there was this, for example, when my mother passed away, there's the story of leading up to that. So they haven't actually had anything written, but they have a concept or they know what they want to write. So yes, you do have to have an idea of the story that you want to tell, but you don't have to have anything down on paper yet.
All right. Do you have to bring a laptop, or are you just going to be pen and paper?
You know, I tell them, bring the thing that you are most comfortable writing with. If it's a laptop or an iPad, that's great. If it's pen and paper, that's great. Because one of the things people get hung up on is how to do it, in addition to what they're going to write. So if you're more comfortable doing it old school with pen and paper, then bring that as well. And we do provide some writing utensils and paper and other little goodies. There's a little goodie gift bag when you check in.
All right. And then the cost of it is how much?
Right now we're running a special. It's $639 per person. However, if you sign up with a friend, each friend gets $100 off. So it would be $539 per person if you sign up with a friend. And to sign up, you go to my website, which is thememoirmidwife.com, and it's just like it sounds, MEMOIRMIDWIFE.com, and then follow the links to the Women's Writing Retreat.
Okay. Journey Into Your Story, a women's writing retreat. And you're doing this for men later, or just...
You know, men have asked about it. I'm really surprised by that, but I am working on something that is going to be for either just men or men and women, but this one coming up is going to be for just women.
Okay. Anything else, Stacey?
Nope, that's it. I really appreciate you having me.
Sure. Stacey Domalski. KPCW News Time now, 8:58.
Morning News and the Local News Hour with Leslie Thatcher is provided by Park City Medical Center, Jan's Mountain Outfitters, Deer Valley Resort, and Promontory and the Promontory Foundation.